Kim Myers is Broome County legislator seeking New York's 22nd district seat, currently held by retiring Representative Richard Hanna, who you would call a friend of yours, wouldn't you, even though he's a Republican?
I have lots of friends that are Republican, and I consider many of them my friends.
That's great. Okay,
some of them actually come to my Thanksgiving Day table, too.
Oh, okay. So now, Kim, if it's okay with you, I'll ask you specific questions that I think your constituents are going to want to know about where you stand. So let's start with health care, Obamacare.
First and foremost, I believe that it's a right for every person in the United States to have access to quality, affordable health care. The Affordable Health Care Act is not perfect, and it was never perfect, but parts of it are good, parts of it are bad. And I believe to achieve that goal of quality, affordable health care for everyone, it requires everybody to come back to the table, sit down, and look at the bill and say, what's working, what's not working? What are some of the unintended consequences that we didn't foresee? Whether they should have or they shouldn't, if it is irrelevant. You know, one of those being the Cadillac tax. As I said, I spent 18 years on the Board of Education in Vestal. And I really don't think part of the intent of that act was that our public school teachers who have good health insurance, which I'm happy about that, that their health insurance policy will now qualify as a Cadillac tax item, and that public schools are going to be faced with a couple $1 million fine or tax because they provide that health insurance for their teachers and staff. I really don't think that that was the intent, and we all know that school budgets, I would say throughout the nation, but I know about in our area, they don't have that expense. They don't have the money for that expense. So that's just an example of some of the things that we need to change, that we need to go back to the table and figure out how we're going to do it. There are some good parts to it, like the idea of a child being able to stay on their parents' health care plan until they're 26. That opens up great opportunities for college graduates or even students that want to go on to get their master's degree, and opportunities for students when they do graduate to take a job that might be something that they see potential in but really doesn't come with health insurance at that point, and it might eventually. So there's good parts to it and there's bad parts to it, and I believe that with the right people in the room and with the right mindset that we want to make sure there's affordable, quality health care for all citizens, that we can fix this.
Now, let me ask you this, Kim. I'm old, and I've been on Social Security for a number of years and Medicare, which is a wonderful program. I really love it. It's terrific. I've always thought that, you know, why not Medicare for all? Why not, you know, single payer, cut the insurance companies out, and, you know, just do for everybody else what this government has done for me? How do you feel about that?
I think that that's worth a discussion. Again, in any decision, I think you have to have all the players at the table and find out what would be the benefits of that, what would be some of the consequences of that, what will work and what won't work. As in many things, you need to have people at the table could say, well, if you do that, then do you know when it gets all the way down here that it means this? And I don't know all the answers to that. That's why I would go to Congress and have my door open to say, everybody tell me both sides. All of the issues that I've traveled around the 22nd to talk to people about, and some of them say, we've got this great program here, and this is what we want to do. And I always say to them, okay, so tell me what your critics would say about it. What would be the downside of it? And I think that's the same thing that you're referring to. Let's look at, is there a downside? Maybe there's not, and then maybe that's something that we should do. But we need to look at it from all angles and not make snap decisions, not make one-size-fits-all immediately without looking at the overall intent and the overall consequences.
Talk to me about immigration. This election of all elections is really around immigration. And we have Donald Trump, who has been made himself very clear about Mexicans and Muslims, walls, and we have Hillary Clinton, who takes somewhat of an opposite position. Now, you're running for Congress. Obviously, you don't want to lose any of those Republican votes, but where's your heart?
well, there is my heart, and there's also the practicality, and I would take issue with, I don't think Mr. Trump has been very clear. It seems every day it kind of changes, and I know even one of my opponents says, well, I don't think he really means a wall. He means maybe a virtual wall. And other times he said, no, I really, really mean a wall. And it's unrealistic. Number one and foremost, we do need to protect our borders. We do need to secure our borders from those who would enter the country that would wish to do us harm. But number two, we have to be practical and realistic. We have 11 million, so they say, who knows what the real number is, undocumented workers or undocumented people in the United States. That's not a realistic thing to round up, or a humane thing to round up 11 million people and deport them. I believe that there is a solution, and there is an answer to it, and it has a humane aspect. It has a practical aspect. If someone is a criminal, which, you know, I've heard these unsubstantiated statistics and the generality that all undocumented people come into this sole purpose to harm us and rape us, rob us, you know, harm us. It's just not true. This country is built on immigrants. We were built on the idea that the tapestry of our country is woven in from many different cultures. That being said, when I hear other people say that whatever administration that they want amnesty. I guess you have to define the word amnesty. If amnesty to me means that you get away with doing what you did wrong with no consequences whatsoever. And I don't think that that's what is being proposed or what I would propose. If you have 11 million people, you can have come to an agreement on how you're going to deal with that. A background check of every single person that comes out of the shadows. If they've been involved in any criminal activity, if they've done any harm or violence or anything, absolutely they should be deported. If they can prove, let's just say through maybe a utility bill or something, that they've been here for X amount of time, and somebody draw that line in the sand, you know, is it 5 years, is it 3 years, is it whatever, then they can pay a fine. That's not amnesty, or some other consequence, and be able to come out of the shadows. I really believe that most of the undocumented workers would love nothing more than to be able to pay taxes. And actually, this is a little bit of a misnomer, because many people think that they're here tax-free, they're not contributing. And a misnomer is many undocumented workers, they actually have a number that kind of looks like a Social Security number, but it's simply a tax-paying number, and every year they actually do pay taxes, and they don't get any services. Not that I think that they should. So I think we have to have a humane. We also cannot violate the U.S. Constitution. When, you know, Donald Trump talks about children who were born in this country, and I don't even want to repeat the word that he sometimes refers to them as, when you're born in the United States of America, you are a United States citizen. You cannot be deported. You cannot. You have all the constitutional rights and freedom of every other citizen in the United States. So the practicality of, are you going to deport the parents and leave the children here? Are you going to make the... We need a logical, well-thought-out, non-emotional issue to immigration reform, and take all the dramatic rhetoric and look at what is real and what would make sense. And that's really what I like to bring to Congress, is just a common sense approach to problems. And let me just reiterate, though, absolutely we need to secure our borders, and we need to know who is in this country that might do us harm. By continuing to have 11 million people that you don't really know who they are or where they are is not going to achieve that end. And we are not going to be able to build a physical wall. A number of people have reported on the absolute logic and the physicality of that is impossible.
Okay, Kim, we're going to have to stop there. We're out of time for today. When we come back, and you'll be back with us very shortly, we'll talk about things like veteran services and fracking, okay?
Okay, thank you.